Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the healing and forgiveness that only you can provide. We're thankful that there's not a sin that you can't forgive, not a hurt you can't heal. There's not a past you can't help us overcome. We're thankful that our lives are truly transformed by your power. Visit with us now, Father. Bless our time together as we study your word. Open our hearts to allow your word to change us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I love transformation stories. Stories of rags to riches, stories of the unassuming and the unexpected, rising out of their circumstances to greatness. We've all heard great transformation stories, right? A young boy named Abe, homeschooled, in a log cabin, rising to become our nation's 16th president. The overlooked sixth-round NFL draft pick, Tom Brady, a gangly college football player, passed up by every NFL team but one, rising to become the greatest quarterback to ever hold a football. We've created epic cultural tales from Cinderella to Spartacus. All stories of rags to riches, of transformation. But the Bible holds the greatest transformation stories. We see God's hand so clearly at work in the lives of people like Joseph, who God elevates from an abandoned slave to Pharaoh's vizier. In David, we see God take a young shepherd boy and turn him into his nation's warrior king. God has a knack for turning nobodies into somebodies, for helping those held down and held back, helping them overcome their background, their education, their heritage, their hurts, their habits, their sins. Only God can forgive, heal, and transform in such a way. And nowhere is this more dramatically on display than the story of a young woman named Rahab. We're going to look at her story today. Turn with me in your Bibles or look up at the video screens to Joshua chapter 2. And Rahab is first introduced to us as a member of a godless, violent people, the Canaanites. Their religion was foul. Vileness of every kind was elevated to an act of worship. Even her name summed up the day in which she lived, proud. However, her days were numbered. The Israelites were on the cusp of claiming Jericho and making the promised land their home, and God's divine judgment was on the way. Joshua sent two spies on a recon mission to gather intel about Jericho in preparation for an attack. It was a difficult city, and it was very intimidating to the Israelites. We've all heard about the walls of Jericho. There were two walls, an outer wall and an inner wall, and they were impenetrable. So the two spies arrive, and let's read starting in Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. "Go look over the land," he said, "especially Jericho." So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, "Look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land." So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab, "Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land." But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them." But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flasks she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Well, before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, "I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Let's stop here. Rahab's biblical introduction is associated with her profession, which happens to be her sin, prostitution. King James Version refers to her as Rahab the harlot, and that name follows her throughout Scripture. Rahab the harlot, everywhere she's mentioned. Imagine forever being associated with your greatest sin. There goes Susan the liar. You know, I went over to John the gambler's house last night, and I was talking to Phil the hothead. Thank God we don't do that. But I believe Rahab the harlot is so named in Scripture as a reminder of what God can do through anyone. Transformation, we're going to see it. Rahab made a very important choice, the most important decision of her life. She chose God. She went up on that roof and she declared her choice to those two spies. For the Lord your God, she said, is God in heaven above and on the earth below. She turned her back on her people, all the pagan gods they worshiped. She turned her back on her king. She turned her back on her profession, her livelihood. She turned her back on her sin. Her decision would ostracize her from almost everyone she knew, her neighbors, her friends, her community, her people. She didn't care. God was worth the choosing. And when we turn our lives over to Him, the first thing He does is lift the weight of our sin off of us. He lifts the weight of our past and discards it. He forgives. He redeems. And that brings us to our first point. God redeems your past. It doesn't matter who she was. A Canaanite. Didn't matter what she did. She worked as a prostitute. It didn't matter her sin, her station, her status. When we choose God, when we reach out to Him, when we make that profession like she made, He forgives. He forgets. He redeems. And you know her past haunted her. You know her sin held her down. It took a toll. She was Rahab the harlot. It followed her. It haunted her. Her sin defined her. An American science fiction writer and novelist, Philip Kick, once famously stated, "To live is to be haunted." It's a quote that has lived on since he uttered those words in the 60s because it resonates with so many people. You know, the longer we live, the more life we've gone through, the more failures, the more sin, the more mistakes. We often feel haunted by our past. Past relationships, choices, actions, our past failures, our sins, things that were done to us, things that we did to others. Why did I behave that way? Why did I make that choice? Why did I say that? These thoughts can haunt us. And what's worse, they cripple us from living in the present and prevent us from moving on towards our future. It's one of Satan's biggest traps, to get us to define ourselves by our past, to stay there, to focus on that. Well, I'm here to tell you today that your past does not have to define you. And Rahab's life story tells us that there is deliverance from all of it. She found redemption. She found forgiveness. She found freedom from her past, from her sin, from her failure. That's what God can do. And that's what only God can do. This world doesn't forget your sins, let alone forgive them. Ask Pete Rose. Well, you can't anymore. He passed away. The man bet on his team to win a baseball game and was forever banned from the sport that he devoted his life to. He apologized countless times, didn't matter. He carried that offense to the grave with him. This world will rake you through the coals and hold your sins against you till you die. What does the Lord do? Psalm 103:12, look at this. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Hebrews 8:12, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. He chooses to forget. Our perfect God chooses to forget our sins. Only Christ can redeem your past. If you're living under the shadow of guilt for your past, for your actions, for your choices, friend, you won't find redemption anywhere else but the foot of the cross. That's it. This world can't redeem you. This world won't forgive you, and this world certainly won't forget or let you forget. It will throw it in your face time and time again. Good works won't erase your past. Happy thoughts won't make it go away. Positive thinking won't reset a thing. Only God can take that past and wipe it clean. Redeemed, forgiven, pardoned. That's what God can do. Rahab chose God. She came to him and he redeemed her past. No longer would she be defined by her sin. God had so much more in store for her. Let's keep reading. Verse 12. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. She said to them, go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until they return, and then go on your way. Now the men had said to her, the oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless when we enter the land you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers, and all your family into your house. If any of them go outside your house into the street, their blood will be on their own hands. We will not be responsible. As for those who are in the house with you, their blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on them. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear. Agreed, she replied, let it be as you say. So she sent them away and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. When they left, they went into the hills and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers had searched all along the road and returned without finding them. Then the two men started back. They went down out of the hills, forded the river, and came to Joshua, son of Nun, and told him everything that had happened to them. They said to Joshua, the Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us. Rahab's story was just beginning. Her transformation was just getting started. God not only redeemed her past, but he empowered her to serve him. That's our second point. He empowers your present. Amidst her godless neighbors, her godless community, her godless people, Rahab stood for God. She made her choice. She defied her friends, her neighbors, her community, her king, and her people to stand for the Lord. Even under the microscope of the authorities, she helped the spies escape under cover of night. Only God gave her that courage and strength. Only he can give that kind of a focus and resolve in the midst of turmoil and threat. Had anyone reported her, she and her family surely would have been killed. they would have been put to death. Even from the rumors that Rahab was doing something, she pretty much already lost face within her community. She certainly lost her business. She didn't care. Her cause was greater than her concern. 2 Timothy 1:17 tells us, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." And Romans 8:31, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" With turmoil around us, with threats around us, with ridicule around us, with compromise among us, with fears within us, we will stand upon the rock of ages. For who can be against us? We stand with resolute vision. We claim His power. It's not our power. It wasn't Rahab's power. She didn't have it within her. It was God's power. He empowered her to take that risk, to stand for Him. That was her stand. Despite everything that was going around her, even despite the fear that most certainly was going on within her, you know, she was scared. I can picture her hands shaking as she tied that scarlet ribbon, that scarlet cord on her balcony. But she did it. God doesn't expect us to be void of fear, but He does expect us to overcome that fear by His power, by His strength. When you witness someone do something so unexpectedly beyond their capability, beyond their expectations, beyond themselves, it should come as no surprise that the power comes from God. In every war, there are stories of courage, bravery, acts of heroism that go way beyond all human limitations. Do you know the name Desmond Doss? You should. He was a soldier in World War II that came from Lynchburg, Virginia. And because of his faith tradition that prevented him from carrying a weapon, he enlisted as a medic, an unarmed medic. Doss and his company were sent to Okinawa in 1945, where they had to climb a steep cliff to meet the enemy above. Everyone around him figured he'd last about 10 seconds unarmed. Well, as the battle raged, Desmond Doss crawled on his belly to find and rescue wounded men. Over the course of 12 hours, he pulled 75 injured men from the battlefield and lowered them down with a rope. All the while, he prayed, "Lord, please help me get one more. One more, Lord." And this miracle was turned into a movie called Hacksaw Ridge. When we do something so beyond our human capability, recognize that it's God at work. That's what God can do through us. It's beyond our human capability. He empowers us. Rahab acted by God's power. Well, what about her past? That was Rahab the harlot, right? Augustine once famously said, "Let your present obliterate your past." That's exactly what Rahab did. Did her sin matter at that point? No, it had been forgiven. Did her past matter at that point? No, it had been forgotten. God had redeemed her. They no longer defined her. She claimed the power of God and became the linchpin for the most surprising upset in the history of war. He redeems our past. He empowers our present. And what else does He do? He uplifts our future. A few chapters later, it happens. The war begins. The battle for Jericho arrived. This was the key city in Israel claiming the promised land. And they were outnumbered. They were outmatched. They were held out because of those walls, those double walls. Impenetrable walls. They couldn't even start. They couldn't even get to the battle because of them. But God gave Joshua clear instructions and the most curious battle plan, which included marching around the city walls of Jericho once a day for 6 days and having priests blow their horns on the seventh day. It honestly didn't matter what the plans were. He may have well as told them to blow kazoos. God had already won this battle. The minute Joshua decided, you know what? I don't understand this plan, but I'm going to obey it to a T. That's what he did. The battle was won. It was over. A miraculous earthquake occurred on that last day, and the walls of Jericho fell in spectacular fashion. The surviving Canaanite soldiers were terrified, and they were easily defeated. Israel captured the city and would begin to occupy the promised land. And Rahab, who lived in a home between those double walls, they built homes between the inner and outer wall. She was spared. They saw that scarlet cord, and she, along with her family, were spared and brought to safety. She honored God. She kept her word. They kept theirs. Happy ending, right? But wait, there's more. She was adopted into the nation of Israel. Happy ending, right? But wait, there's more. She went on to marry a man named Salmon, who many theologians believe was one of those two spies who visited her. Could be a Hallmark movie. Happy ending, right? There's more. See, when we stand for God, when we serve God, when we turn our back on this world and our fear and the threats and the dangers around us and everything this world is standing for, we turn our back on that and stand for what God wants us to stand for. He gives so abundantly, it's ridiculous. We can never outgive God. The transformation didn't stop there. I want us to take a look at Matthew chapter 1. It's titled The Genealogy of Jesus the Messiah. This was Ancestry.com version 0.1. It starts with Abraham, the father of Israel, and it follows the lineage all the way to Jesus. I always wondered, why did they include this in the Bible? Well, there's good reasons, and this is one of them. Something very curious is stated in verse 5. Take a look at what it says. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse. See, Rahab and Salmon had a son named Boaz. Boaz and his wife Ruth, who also was grafted in to the Jewish lineage, had a son named Obed. Obed went on to have a son named Jesse, and we know Jesse, he was the father of the young shepherd boy who would become King David. And from David, you can follow about 10 verses down to Jesus Christ. What? Are you telling me there was a prostitute in the royal lineage of King David? No, I'm telling you there was a prostitute in the divine lineage of Jesus Christ. And liars, and thieves, and cheats, and drunks. Why? Because God does not define us by our past. Amen? When we come to Him, He redeems us. He redeems our past. He empowers our present, and He uplifts our future in a way we could never imagine. In short, He completely transforms us. Did you look closely at that verse? Rahab. He was the son of Rahab. What happened to Rahab the harlot? That's how she was always referred to previously. God redefines us. He rewrites our story. She was no longer Rahab the harlot. She was now Rahab, the great, 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 great grandmother of Jesus Christ. That's what God can do. Transformed. In the 1940s, Los Angeles, a young man named Jim Voss had grown up as an evangelical pastor's son. But he decided very early on that he didn't want to follow his father's path. He was going to make his own way. He didn't want God. He was going to find his own destiny, a different path. And of course, he fell in with the wrong crowd, the Los Angeles mob. An electronics genius, he created wiretapping devices to keep his mob boss, Mickey Cohen, safe from surprises and a step ahead of the law and his enemies. Well, before he knew it, young Jim was entrenched deeply with the mob. One day, 1949, Billy Graham came to Los Angeles for a crusade. Jim was now married, and his wife suggested they should go and attend and see what all the hype was about. Jim wasn't terribly big on that idea. He had heard every possible sermon from every scripture from his father growing up. But he was a bit curious about this Billy Graham. So he agreed to go. Well, Billy's message of dissatisfaction with a life spent running from God resonated with Jim. Billy spoke of the emptiness in our hearts that only Christ can fill. When Billy made the altar call for salvation, Jim's wife looked over at him to see what he thought. Tears were streaming down his face. The man who spent his life running from God now ran down to the front to give his life to God. He walked away from the mob. He began serving the Lord. He eventually started an organization that's still around today. In 1959, he started Youth Development. It's a ministry to reach young people in order to keep them from falling into the wrong hands, to keep them out of trouble and point them to Christ. His life was completely transformed. That's what God can do. That's God's specialty, transformation. When we look to Christ, when we reach out to Him, when we receive His forgiveness and we accept His salvation, God takes that sin, He takes that past, and He throws it as far as the east is from the west. He remembers it no more. It's we who keep looking back and digging it up and remembering and focusing on it. It's the devil's ploy, isn't it? Keep us haunted by our past, so that our present is crippled and our future is cloudy. Believer, it's crystal clear. You are not defined by your past. You're not defined by your sin. You are defined by the God you gave your life to. You are defined by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He died in your place. That's what defines you now. You're a child of God. You've been redeemed by the sacrifice of Christ and are now a child of the King, empowered by the God of the universe. What a place, what a position. What a position we have in Christ. It wasn't of our own doing. It wasn't of our own accomplishment. That's what Christ accomplished for us. You belong to a kingdom that's not of this world, and you're headed to an eternity reigning with Him forever. That's worth celebrating, isn't it? And if you're sitting here today, haunted by your past, friend, there's hope. There is hope. There's a redemption from all of it. There's a transformation that only God can make. And there's a new beginning waiting for you. Come to the cross of Jesus Christ and look upon the One who gave His life for yours, to redeem yours, to rescue yours. Only He can forgive. Only He can wipe away that past and give you eternal salvation. Accept Him into your heart today and let Him change your hopeless story to a story of transformation. Only God can rewrite your story. Amen. Only He can redeem your yesterdays, empower your today, and give you hope for the future. So the next time Satan throws it in your face and reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we stand amazed at what you can do with our lives. Despite what this world says about us, despite our past, despite our failures, despite our sins, it is through your redemption, your empowerment, and your promise that only you can transform our lives and rewrite our stories. We're so grateful for your life-changing power, Father. Dismiss us now and help us to walk with our eyes focused on you. No looking back. No turning back. Help us to toil, to serve you, to work, to advance your kingdom, and to live with eternity in view. We thank you for Rahab and her story. We thank you for what a transformation we see. And we know that you have done the same in our lives and can do the same for everyone who turns their lives to you. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.